we were told, well, we probably knew prior to that, but it really came to our attention that Anthony didn't have anybody to fill in for him Sunday night. Chris was out sick, so I went to Doug, and I said, well, it looks like it comes down to me and you. And I said, if I can find an outline, which I thought I had, I said, I'll take it. I want it. Okay, but I said, just be ready in case I can't find that outline, because then I'm stuck. Okay. So Wednesday night a week ago, I brought a devotional on the convenience of our society, but I think I left out a part, okay? And I mainly just talked about the things that were wrong with convenience society. I'm mainly stating this for some of our visitors. We do have some over here, by the way. But we also have some conveniences to help us out as Christians today. I know a lot of us, and I'm guilty of it too. I do a lot of stuff on YouTube. Bees, cows, you just name it. Whether I'm fixing something or whatever, I go to YouTube. Okay. Well, you have GBN, which is Gospel Broadcasting Network. There is tons of stuff on there, and some of it's not even 30 minutes long. Okay, if you got 30 minutes throughout the day, you can pull that up on your phone, and you can either watch it or just listen to it. Either way, and then you got the World Video Bible School. I haven't checked out their stuff yet. And then, if you're like me, I prefer a guided Bible study. Okay, so you have the Lamb's Academy, and you can take that. You can take a class on there and not even have to leave the comfort of your home. Okay. You can do it via Zoom, or you can actually go to that class. It's a little bit of a drive, but I find it's more beneficial to me if I can actually go. Some days I don't get to go. I have to do it via Zoom. And it's really a good work, because what they're doing is they're trying to put together a curriculum so that after you take all your classes, you're prepared to preach. Okay, and I have not taken all the classes. They're kind of rotating them throughout. They got morning classes and evening classes, and they kind of rotate them throughout the year. Well, the way I'm doing it, it's probably going to take 5 years to get all the classes, but it's designed to, if you can do it in 2 years, okay? But to me, that's an outstanding way to study, and we're currently studying Job in our class. Marie and I think Doug and my mother are taking a class on the book of John, but it's in the morning, so that's a little bit out for me. So there are three convenient ways that you can get your studying in. And another one is, and some of us have this and some of us don't, is the Blue Letter Bible app on your phone, okay? And part of our curriculum or in the syllabus, if you're taking this class for credit, which I am not, is that you read and document what you're reading, certain portions of Job, okay? And I asked David Westbrook's teaching the class, and I said, well, what about, can I listen to it? And he said, yeah, well, audio books are fine. And so what I've started doing, if I get to go down there, is I pull up Blue Letter Bible on my phone, and I'll go to Job, and I'll start on whatever chapter we're fixing to study. I listen to it on the way down there. Okay. It's no different than listening to the radio. And that way I get my reading in just before we go to class, and it's fresh in my mind. But there again, if you can only do one chapter a day, you know, you can get your Bible reading in, even if you're just listening to it. I know a lot of people have these wireless earbuds. I don't have any. But anyway, so there's four different ways that you can conveniently get your Bible study in. Now, one of the classes I've taken in the past, I think we actually had two different classes on this. One of them was talking about the different types of sermons, you know, your topical, your expository and such. And then another one that I actually pulled this outline from was doing the purpose of the class was you had to do an outline for a sermon, okay? And then you had to present that outline and then present a lesson off of that outline. That was part of your test, if you want to call it that. But in the process of getting us ready for that, the teacher, who is Kevin Colley, and I believe he preaches at New Boston, we spent probably 2 or 3, 4 weeks going through outlines. And he would tell us, you know, this is what you need in your outline, and give us example outlines and such as that. And that's where I pulled this from. Okay. This is not of my own, but he gave these to us and said, you might can use these sometime. So that's what I'm doing. But I'm giving him credit for it, and I'm not entirely off of his outline. I pulled bits and pieces from it. So hopefully I won't get accused of plagiarism. Now, to get to the meat of our lesson, if you would turn to Colossians 3. And oddly enough, once I pulled this out of my file and started looking at it, I found some notes that I had, and the very sermon lesson that I presented was on Colossians 3:17, and I think I went through the end of the chapter. Okay, so I didn't really cover this, what we're fixing to cover, but it kind of leads up to that. So we'll start in verse 12. We'll read the text, and then we'll get into it. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay, so the title of the lesson is Putting on Christ the King. So what does that actually mean? Okay. It means we should strive to be like Christ. Okay. So then we have to ask ourselves, well, what was Christ like? And we just had that described here in the text. So to be like Christ, we want to look at his character, his words, and his life. And those are the 3 points that we'll cover. So concerning his character, scripture tells us to put on tender mercy. Okay. And you ask yourself, well, what does tender mercies mean? It means empathy, or the feeling that you get when you feel bad for somebody, or pity. Okay. The next one is kindness. Brother Colley defines this as moral excellence or gentleness. The next one is humility. Okay. Humbleness of mind, a self-reflective state of being that is open to change. Meekness, does not fly off the handle, mildness or gentleness. Long-suffering, patience over a long time, enduring under passionate strain. Okay, and we're going to get in this. There's a little bit of translational difference because I'm using the King James, and I think I'm using the New King James, and he's using the King James. So just keep that in mind. Forbearance, puts up with things, endures, suffers, and recognizes that people need to learn. Forgiveness, to be gracious toward one another, giving without expecting anything. Now, he states here, and it's another attribute of the Blue Letter Bible, is that it also can translate into Greek, or it has a Greek dictionary in it. I don't know enough Greek, although I've been accused of speaking it. I don't know enough to get into that. Doug's probably the Greek scholar of the room, maybe. Sandy can help you out in that regard, but it's not me. Okay, so he states that the same word here, it's not the same word used in Acts 2:38 for the word being gracious. So under his subtitles here, it says sets aside complaints, faults, and blames for the benefit of another. Then the next one is love, and he states it's the God. There's two different kinds of love. One is charity, and one's agape. And he states that this is the agape love, the highest form of love, seeking another's good. The next one, well, let's look at John 13:34 right quick. All right, let's start in 33. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this, all will know that I will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. Okay, so let's look at Philippians 4:6. Actually, let's start in verse 4. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Okay. So we understand that we are to love one another and that we are supposed to have peace. Okay, so back to our text in verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay, so for us to be Christ-like, we have to let the word of Christ dwell in us. And for us to do that, we have to know what the word of Christ is. Okay. I think the key word here being dwell is, and I understand, I get it. It can be a difficult thing, but there's nothing, nowhere does it say that Christianity is going to be easy. I don't know that it says that anywhere in Scripture. But there is a reward associated with it, and we'll get into that in just a bit. So, key word, letting the word of Christ dwell in us. So, if we have the word of Christ dwelling in us, then we won't have any problem sharing it with somebody. I think that's an area that we can all work in. Now, he gets into looking at the grammar of this particular passage. And I can tell you also that I know I'm not a Greek scholar, and I know I'm not a grammar expert either. I leave that up to my wife. So one way that we can let the word of Christ dwell in us is through, as it states in the passage, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that's, we're commanded to sing. Okay. Let's look at Psalms 119:11. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. That's 11 and 12. Okay, so let's go to Acts 17. Okay, verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things be so, or these things were so. Many of you have noticed the young man coming with us. One Wednesday night we left here, and he asked me, he said, why did God flood the earth? Was he having a bad day? And I said, no, but I said, I'm gonna show you. And I took him to Acts chapter, or Genesis chapter 6, and I gave him the scripture and told him, I said, you need to read this. And I said, matter of fact, why don't you just back up and start at the beginning of the chapter? And then I kind of turned the tables on him. I read it to him, okay? And then after I gave him the scripture reference, I told him, I said, Do not go by what I tell you. I said, you read it. And then, you know, you'll understand when you read it. And I said, if you don't understand when you read it, then you come back to me and we'll look at it even better. But then I turned the tables on him. I said, well, you don't understand what the rainbow means. And he had this blank look on his face. And he said, well, no. So I took him further into Genesis. And I said, okay, you need to read that. You know, because it states that God made that covenant that he would not flood the earth again, and the rainbow was that sign. So I gave him some homework to read, but I made it a point to take him to the passage and make let him read that for himself and make sure he understand that it doesn't matter what I tell you, you read it, okay? I'm trying to get that embedded in his mind very early. So. Let's look at John 8. And one reason I'm doing that is because he's asking questions that somebody that's only been here for 6 or 7 Wednesday nights should not be asking. And I'm talking about foundational type questions. I don't know where he's getting them from. I know his parents don't go to church and have not since he's, as far as I know, since he's been born. So I don't know where he's getting these questions. And I want to set the stage right and make sure that he knows that everything we do is because of what we read in the scripture. So I'm hoping I get that done. All right, John 8, 31-32. Then Jesus said unto the Jews who believed him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. All right, so now let's look at verse 17 back to our text. Which says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever we do in word or deed, we're supposed to do in the name of the Lord. Okay, let's look at let's back up. And I ran into this as I was studying for this. I like to back up and read a little bit, kind of set the context of what I'm reading. And every time I did that, well, I backed all the way up into the second chapter, and I thought there's multiple lessons in this that, you know, someone could preach on, and hopefully I get the opportunity to bring those to you at a later date. But the passage that he references here is chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And I think it would do you good just back up and start at the beginning of the chapter. Let's just do that. We got some time. If then you are, starting in verse 1, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Now, in contrast to what we read starting in verse 12, none of these things are what Christ is about. And he goes on in verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And that's what we need to practice. You know, whenever somebody's converted and they come up out of that watery grave, they need to, before they even go in there, they need to understand that there's going to have to be a change. I know, based on personal experience, I had to change friends. I couldn't keep going and associating with those that I had before. Okay, I had to change. And I will tell you this, it's been a very fruitful endeavor, just looking at the crowd here. And all the friends that I've made outside this congregation. I mean, it's not just here. It's, you know, multiple congregations. Taking the Lambs Academy class, you get to know people there. It just keeps multiplying and growing. And it's way better than what I had before. So let's turn to Matthew 16:24. Let's back up to verse 22. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord, this shall happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man who gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. Right here, he tells us that we need to deny ourselves. And I think this, in my mind, is key to being able to walk a faithful Christian life. It's not mentioned in our original text, but I think once, if you ever master that, if you ever master denying yourself, it seems to me like it makes everything a whole lot easier. Okay, let's go to First Peter 1. Verse 15. Let's start in 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Okay, James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So earlier, we got we had mention of a promise or a reward. Okay, let's turn to 1 John 2:24. Excuse me, 2:25. Well, let's actually start in 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he promised us, eternal life. Okay, also Titus 3. Verses 4-7. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, but not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing and of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So what is our reward for being Christ-like? Well, it's, according to scriptures, it's eternal life. And it's obvious to me that everyone here tonight wants that reward, or you probably wouldn't be here, because I'm sure there's 100 other things you could be doing. Now, if you do some self-reflection and you find that you don't feel like you've been living your life Christ-like, or if you feel like you're falling short of any of those attributes that we looked at in Colossians 3, then now is the time that you can come and we will pray with you and ask God for God for forgiveness, and you can change that. You may not get another opportunity. So now is the time. If you will, come as we stand and sing.